GM, everyone. Welcome to our monthly community AMA. We just had a really big month, so maybe I'll just take a moment to celebrate that. We just had our largest revenue month, all-time high in revenue. We had about 1.7 million in fees, and then I think we generated even more than that in market making profit, although I'm not sure about the exact amount. So yeah, really phenomenal month riding that wave of the meme coin craze on Solana, where yeah, volumes were just going crazy, especially for that 1 week. Things seem to have settled down now, but yeah, who knows if that'll come back. Anyways, congratulations to us. Yes, I'm in a self-congratulatory mood. So yeah, I guess I'll get into the questions now. So the first question we have from Otto. Otto asks, how much has the optimal protocol-owned liquidity changed with the past 3 months of higher SOL price and DEX volume, if at all? We can focus on SOL USDC 2 V2 if it helps. Or does this adjustment happen naturally as market making profit compounds in the pools? Yes, so I guess to start off, it's probably good to mention that there is no like perfect and rigorous way to figure out what the optimal level of liquidity is. This is basically like a trial and error type of process. So part of that process involves, as you suggest, letting the market making profit compound in the pool and letting that automatically gradually shift the amount of liquidity in the pool. In particular, it gradually increases the liquidity in the pool, assuming market making profit is positive, which it is for the vast majority of pools. So yeah, as the market making profit in the pools gradually increases and the liquidity gradually increases, we can see how the pool is performing. And then if we ever notice a pool not doing well, and we suspect it's because of there being too much liquidity, then we withdraw some. And actually, this is true of trading fees as well. Trading fees accrue in the pool just like market making profit until we withdraw it. And we don't always withdraw trading fees at the end of the month when we distribute trading fees, because if we think the pool is doing just fine, then we don't want to reduce that liquidity. We just want it to stay there. So instead, what we'll do, instead of withdrawing trading fees from the pool to distribute as revenue, we'll just use some of the idle assets and use that as revenue. Or use it for distribution, rather. So it would be the same as withdrawing from the pool and then replenishing it from the treasury, but that just adds an extra step, so it's kind of unnecessary, so we just leave it in the pool and then distribute from the treasury instead. Yeah, so let's see. So how has the optimal protocol own liquidity changed for the past 3 months? Yeah, so market making profit has been like very good in the past 3 months, especially because things have been so volatile. So liquidity has definitely increased, and for most pools, like, that's been fine. It's been able to handle it, and that's probably in no small part due to the fact that there's more volume. So like, there's a trade-off between having a lot of liquidity And the fact that the more liquidity you have, there's greater impermanent loss risk. And it can be that at one time, a certain level of liquidity is too little, because even though it generates more fees than a smaller level of liquidity, it introduces additional impermanent loss risk that's greater than the fees that it generates, so that it's just not worth it. But yeah, I think that's not the case, from what we've observed for the past 3 months. Yeah, so like the liquidity has increased, and that's not only increased fees, but in this case, it's probably also been beneficial for market making profit or neutral. Like greater risk was introduced, but the benefit clearly outweighed it. So for the most part, we haven't had a need to withdraw liquidity. I think the main pools that we've withdrawn liquidity from are V1 pools. It's kind of been as if we're like phasing them out. The V2 pools just perform so much better than our V1 pools. So yeah, we've like gradually reduced their liquidity over time. Yeah, I think that's the main one. Let's see. Yeah, so I think I answered the question. Let me know if you want further clarification. All right. Next question we have Create asks how to follow the buyback token. The last update data on the front end was in November. Yeah, so for those who don't know, on our dashboard, we have at the bottom we have a place where it tracks our buybacks. And that stopped back in November, maybe. I actually don't remember, but Create is saying November, so maybe that's the case. So yeah, a few months back, we stopped buybacks because we voted to direct all the revenue that was normally slated for buybacks to instead use to increase Lifinity liquidity. Yeah, maybe that was around the time when the Lifinity token was going up in price a lot, and there were some complaints about there being insufficient liquidity, or that when you buy tokens, it moves the price too easily. And so yeah, we voted to increase liquidity, which we've been doing ever since. Then more recently, we did another vote, and people instead voted to use half of the USDC slated for buybacks, and then the other half to just pair it with the tokens that we buy back to add as liquidity. So we're doing both buybacks and liquidity enhancements. And so, but because we temporarily stopped, the site stopped updating the buyback data, and it's still kind of stuck there, and we need to fix that. The reason it hasn't been fixed yet is hasn't been fixed yet is because we've been focusing on other things, namely, most notably Project S, which we've been working on for quite a while now. And also more recently, we were making a lot of adjustments to our pools when the markets were going crazy, so that we could capitalize on them as much as possible. So yeah, it's been like busy, and but yeah, that's definitely on our to-do list, along with other things we need to change for the Lifinity website. There's a lot of improvements that can be made for sure. But yeah, they just haven't been at the top of the priority list. So please forgive us on that front. Like ultimately, we tend to lean toward prioritizing things that generate revenue. So That would be like Project S and optimizing our pools. So yeah, that's why the more like decorative aspects of Lifinity tend to not get top priority. But yeah, it's definitely on our to-do list. So in good time, it will be fixed once again. Next question we have from Darren. They ask, when we stopping providing LP and just focus on Webex? Yeah, I think they're asking, when will we stop providing or increasing our liquidity and just focus on buybacks? Yeah, and I just mentioned how our plan for how we use those funds has shifted over time. So, Darren, we could do another vote, although that would be very soon. I feel like we flip-flop a lot between like what to do, and like everyone has different opinions. Like personally, I feel like it's a pretty good balance where we use half for buybacks and half to increase liquidity, just because like it does both things, half and half, and you know, it can satisfy people on both sides to a certain degree. So like I'm pretty okay with it. I don't see a need to focus on the buybacks. But yeah, I know there are other people like you who would prefer to do buybacks. And there are also others who would just prefer to increase liquidity. So, but ultimately, like, it's not like up to me to decide. So yeah, that's a topic for Lifinity's governance to discuss and vote on. So yeah, we have the Lifinity governance channel if you wanna make a proposal. All right, next question we have E... I don't know what's up with these ... names. They've suddenly appeared all over the place, it seems, but they ask, what's your business continuity plan? And actually, I kind of chatted with them a bit before this AMA, just to figure out what exactly they're trying to get at. And so they elaborated, so unconventionally, do you have a set plan in case of any extenuating circumstances that may halt the processes of the project? So my understanding of what this means is they're asking, what are you going to do if Lifinity stops working and it just becomes an ineffective DEX? Or it's just like unprofitable. And this is something we've told our community since the start. But if that were to ever happen, then and also assuming like we have no plan to pivot to something else, we can't figure out any good way to move forward, then what we would do is distribute all our assets pro rata to all our token holders. Yeah. So basically, and that's, you know, partially why we mention our book value, because it's not like a purely theoretical number. Like, it's not inconceivable that one day that will be realized if, Lifinity does become unable to continue for whatever reason. So but yeah, that's the plan. If we ever fail, then we'll just distribute our assets, because if we can't use them to like generate revenue, then you know, there's like no point in just holding them. So it's best to distribute to the token holders. I think that's what makes the most sense. So yeah, that's what we do. Let's see. Uh-oh. Someone says they can't hear me. Let's see. Someone says I'm muted on Twitter. I'm not muted. Least it doesn't say I'm muted. So not sure what's up with that. Okay, Riptide says they can hear on Twitter at the moment. Discord, I'm not muted. So yeah, I literally have no clue why suddenly I am muted to some people. That's weird. In any case, Twitter should be recording, and then also I'm doing my own recording on my computer. Okay. People say it's all good on Twitter, so yeah. All right, I'm just gonna continue. Yeah, because like even if one of them fails, the other one should continue recording and people can listen later anyway, so. All right. Back to the questions then. Right, next one we have Hibu asks, what do we plan to do with market making profit for now? Yeah, so I basically talked about this earlier, but the market making profit just stays in the pools for now. And like I mentioned earlier, that's sometimes true of trading fees as well. But yeah, market making profit can be a little bit trickier to calculate because to calculate it precisely, we would need to keep track of all deposits and withdrawals, like any adjustments of liquidity that we do. So yeah, but anyways, it just stays in the pools for now. Actually, it basically always has. There was only one time we withdrew it for a surprise buyback of flares right before the VEIDO. But yeah. Romulus asks, what is Project S? Project S stands for Project Soon. TM. Let's see. Oh yeah, Otto wanted me to talk about MetaDAO later. Yeah, I'll try to remember that at the end. Right. Duncan asks, why isn't the market making profit included in monthly revenue numbers? If not in revenue numbers, maybe they should be posted somewhere else to show people and make them more accessible. Yeah, so the reason they're not included is because they are harder to calculate precisely. Like trading fees, they just accrue in a separate account. So it's really easy to see how much has accrued. But yeah, not so with market making profit. Two things you need to differentiate what is due to price appreciation. And also the thing I talked about earlier. Just totally slipped my mind now. But I think I just talked about it like a moment ago in response to Hibu's question. You have to keep track of all the deposits and withdrawals that you do. Yeah, so anyways, like figuring out the exact number is trickier. But you can find the percentages across a pool's lifetime in the in the pools page. So if you just hover over the APRs, you can see like the percents. Although it's not on a per month basis, it's the pool's lifetime. But still, that should give you like a pretty good idea of how much market making profit we generate, like as a whole. Yeah, I think that's fairly accessible. Another question from Duncan. What is stopping a market making firm like Jump or Wintermute market making on Phoenix, also with centralized exchange data, and taking away market share from Affinity? So I think there is not much that is stopping them, to be honest. I mean, to be frank, like we are competitors with all the market makers on Phoenix, and as well as OpenBook. And it seems like there's a bunch of them. Like, yeah, I mean, they generate a lot of volume. So I guess one way I can think of that might make it a little more difficult for them is that if you're market making on an order book, you have to successfully land a transaction each time you want to renew or adjust your bids and asks. Whereas that's not the case with Lefinity. Lefinity, like, because it uses an Oracle, assuming the Oracle is able to land its updates, then Lefinity just reads that. It doesn't have to post bids or asks or adjust them. It just references the Oracle price feed value and determines its prices that it's offering based on that. So, yeah. And like each market maker needs their own infrastructure for getting their transactions through, especially like when Solana is congested. And yeah, some market makers are going to be better at that than others. Obviously, like Jump and Wintermute would probably be pretty good at doing that. But yeah, I mean, like, I assume they already are market making. I don't see why they wouldn't be. But yeah, Lefinity is still doing quite well. Lefinity does better than order books on some pairs and less good on other pairs. So yeah, I'm not sure like what exactly like the what exactly it is that determines whether Lefinity does better than order books or not. I'm sure there's a lot of variables that go into that, like the quality of the Oracle price feeds. If it's really good, that means we can quote tighter. But if there's a lot of jitter or like imprecision in the price, then we have to quote wider to account for that. Stuff like that. So yeah, it's pretty complex, but yeah, basically we are competitors with order books is the bottom line, I think. All right, and third question from Duncan. I understand that adding more assets to pools doesn't necessarily increase revenue or profitability, but what is the disadvantage to adding more liquidity to these pools so it's there if needed? If you are rebalancing based on Pyth plus Lefinity's own private oracles, then at worst, adding more liquidity to these pools should be net neutral. I guess it depends on how complex your rebalancing mechanism is. For example, does Lefinity's private oracles not only take into account the price and bid-ask spread on centralized exchanges, but order book depth as well? Some additional information that the oracles provide would be useful to understand why it may be net negative to add more liquidity to pools. Thanks. All right. There's a lot to address there. So let's see, give me a second. All right, yeah, so as everyone knows, our ultimate goal is to maximize profitability. So everything we do is with that goal in mind. So when we add more liquidity, as Duncan puts it, why can't we just add more liquidity so it's there when it's needed? So it would be nice if it actually worked that way. Well, kind of does, but not quite. So our pools have a certain tuning of their parameters. And given a certain set of parameters, there is given a set of certain parameters and market conditions, such as how much liquidity there is on other DEXs that we can arbitrage against, as well as how much retail volume there is on an average day, there's an optimal level of liquidity to match those conditions. And so that's the amount of liquidity that we aim to have in our pools. Now, what would happen if we added liquidity beyond that level? A few things would happen. One is that it would increase our trading fees. If you have more volume and you don't change your parameters, if the only thing you're changing is your liquidity, then yeah, the more liquidity you have, the more volume you get. But it's important to keep in mind that this increase in volume is not linearly correlated with the increase in liquidity. It's not as if, regardless of your current liquidity, if you double it, you're going to double your volume. That's not how it works. The main reason is for that is because the amount of volume on a chain, while it's somewhat affected by the amount of liquidity on the chain, that is definitely not the driving factor of volume. If you think about the average trader, they're not thinking to themselves, all right, I'm gonna wait for SOL USDC TVL to reach this amount, and then I'll be happy with the amount of liquidity there is, and therefore I will begin trading. Like, I think nearly zero people have that kind of thought process. Rather, people think, I want this asset. I have this other asset. I want to go trade it. I'm going to go look on Jupiter and see if the slippage and or actually price impact is reasonable. And if it is, I'm going to trade it. And the price impact part, if you add liquidity, that will decrease their price impact, but not by much. It's going to be a very small change, and most people are not going to notice. And in truth, like, a lot of people don't even look at the price impact. Their only goal is to get the asset, and they don't really care about the price impact. They just assume that whatever price impact happens is reasonable, so they're just going to take the trade with the DEX that gives them the best price. So all this to say, even if we increase liquidity, it will increase fees, all else being equal, but the effect is going to be quite small. And so yeah, this is one part of the equation. The increase in fees is obviously good for us, but again, I just want to emphasize, it's not going to be large. Yeah. All right. So the other part of the equation is what happens to market making profit. If we increase liquidity, that means that our pool is able to accept larger trades. If we just have $100 of liquidity, $50 of SOL USDC each, then we can only handle up to $50 worth of SOL. If we double that, then now we can handle $100 worth of SOL. So we can accept larger trades. And of course, this is part of the reason why volume can increase. However, it's not that relevant because very large trades are very rare. And at the same time, very large trades tend to be riskier. The larger a trade is, the more likely it is that it's a trade where price discovery is happening. And this is something we want to avoid. It's the whole reason we use an oracle, is because we know that price discovery tends to happen on centralized exchanges. And so we want the trades where price discovery is happening to occur on centralized exchanges. And then once the price updates that are a result of those trades become clear, we reflect that on Liffinity. So, I mean, I think most of you are familiar with this effect by now, but say like SOL is $100 and then it quickly gets bought up to $101 on a centralized exchange. Then all the market makers who sold SOL from $100 to $101, they sort of regret that because they sold at a too low price. And this is essentially, you know, what happens on decentralized exchanges. They get arbitraged with centralized exchanges because they can't update their price. But Liffinity, you know, it was quoting at $100 when the price was still $100 on centralized exchanges. But then after price discovery happens on the centralized exchanges, we instantly update the price to $101. So for us, we never sell from $100 to from the time price change from $100 to $101. And so we hold on to the SOL as the price goes up. This is a, of course, this is a simplified explanation of the dynamics that actually take place, but I think you get the point. So yeah, we want to avoid that. Let's see, got to bring it back to what I was originally talking about. So yeah, what if we add liquidity? And the second effect, what does it do to market making profit? Yeah, so what it does is when we increase liquidity, we're now able to handle larger trades. But essentially, we don't want any more larger trades. We choose the level of liquidity such that we capture all the juicy good volume that's not price discovery. But when we add liquidity beyond that, we introduce the ability to handle larger trades, but we don't actually want these larger trades because then price discovery can happen on Liffinity, and then that just leads to impermanent loss, or in other words, less market making profit. Yeah, and that's why adding liquidity ends up not being good. Now, let me take a sip for a second before I continue. All right, let me just refresh myself on your question. So you say, if you are rebalancing based on PIF and Liffinity's own private oracles, then at worst, adding more liquidity to these pools should be net neutral. So yeah, I explained why that's it won't be net neutral. I guess it depends on how complex your rebalancing mechanism is. For example, does Liffinity's private oracles not only take into account the price and bid-ask spread on centralized exchanges, but order book depth as well? The oracles don't take those into account. It's, for example, like PIFs is just the price plus the confidence interval. And I mean, I'm sure like the first party data providers do look at things like order book depth and the spread to determine their confidence interval. But yeah, it's, you could say it's like summarized in the confidence interval. But yeah, with regards to rebalancing, the rebalancing does not care about the spread or depth on other locations. It only cares about how balanced is our pool relative to the current real price. So if it has too much SOL, then it'll try to sell it. It'll adjust the price from the true Oracle price to make trades that balance our pool more favorable so that statistically they're more likely to happen. Let's see. So you continue. Some additional information that the oracles provide would be useful to understand why it may be net negative to add more liquidity to the pools. Okay, I think I, yeah, it's not really related to the oracles, the information in the oracles per se, but yeah, I think I explained already what, why it's not good, why it's not neutral to add extra liquidity. I hope that satisfies your curiosity. Let's see. All right, next question. Oh, we have from Alpro. They ask, do we know how many flares are still on the staking site? So I asked Luffy about this. I think he looked at the site, but the counter is not working right now. Or in other words, he as you know, the site is no longer live, but he what's the term? He ran the site locally on his computer. But yeah, I'm not sure why, but for whatever reason, the counter was not working. So yeah, we're not sure how many are left. Meta H asks, hello, Sir Durden. Is Project S still hiding in plain sight? Yes, sir, it is. Recall the tweets made by Lefinity. That is the plain sight of which I speak. All right. Those are all the questions on Discord. I said people could also post questions on Twitter. So let me check those real quick. And you can still post there now if you would like to. Hooded Zombie asks, when Project S? Soon is all I can say. Dioforce asks, what actually happens with market making profit? It seems counterintuitive that market making profit stays in the pools, but pools don't need more liquidity, so they don't really need market making profit. But I'll tell you what does. Oh, but I'll tell you what does flare floor price lulls. Yeah, so I think I already talked about this. No need to elaborate anymore. yeah, we've talked about market making profit a lot today. I guess understandably so, since it's performed so well. But let's see. Are there any more questions? All right, I don't see any on Twitter. Yeah, so I guess that's it for now. Still waiting for your questions if anyone has any more. Excited to talk about Project S, not quite yet, but I think soon the time is nearing for the great reveal. Or if anyone wants to come on stage, that's another option. An option that basically no one chooses. But yeah, I will still leave it there for you guys. Lieutenant Lollipop used to come on stage a bunch. But that was a long time ago. Jago says, come on stage to do what though? I can't dance. I don't know. Ask a question, share your wisdom, sing a song, recite a poem. Spoken word. Many options. All right, well, no need to drag this out unnecessarily. It appears that people have been satisfied. So I guess I will call it an AMA. Appreciate everyone showing up, and thanks for posting your questions. I wonder how next month will turn out. Expectations are probably high given the previous month, but yeah, we'll see. It'll be interesting for sure. A lot of new tokens are going to be releasing on Solana. New projects launching through Jupiter, a lot of points programs coming to an end, hopefully. Fingers crossed. We'll see. Yeah, hopefully Lifinity can make market make for a bunch of those. We were able to catch the Jito and Jupe launches, which was great. Yeah, I guess it depends on whether these whether new tokens list on centralized exchanges or not. That's a key component for us. So we'll see. All right, thanks everyone. See you guys in the chat. Have a good day. Peace out.